Call the meeting to order. This is the special meeting of the Finance Committee, October 10th, 2023, 10 o'clock. Let's see if we can talk about the audit, maybe.
Okay, great, thank you very much. Can we move to the slide on the audit? So what you have here is a listing of, it's a partial listing. This is 78 different tasks that are part of a comprehensive audit, and we've been chipping away at these. I meet regularly with the Richardson and Company auditors to try to fulfill their needs. So we have two that are incomplete. One of those is dependent upon their completion, so we can't do that until their work is, you know, more finished. That's the MD&A. And then the top one with the $210,000 differential, that's a discrepancy in the audit adjustment accounts that harkens back to the summer of 22, when there was a sort of quick and dirty effort to reconcile the balance sheet accounts for the start of 2021. And a lot, and forgive me, I have to try to figure out how to say this because I don't know what the depth of knowledge is, but if I go too deep, tell me, and if I go too shallow, let me know as well. So with the balance sheet reconciliations, there were adjusting entries of originally, I think, about $3.4 million that were done in order to pull the balance sheet accounts up to the starting point of 2021. And those transactions that were established to make the adjustments were dropped into a variety of different accounts called audit adjustment accounts in all of the funds. And then they were kind of like, we'll just park those there and we'll get to them later. And so over the course of the last really almost 13 months, there was an effort to figure out where that expense should have been applied, or the revenue. And so those expenses and revenues were largely allocated to their appropriate spots. And it was down to 2.5, then it was down to 800, and now we're down to 210. And so because we don't have Susan Wren with us, I'm struggling with those, and we're going to be meeting with the auditors they seem to believe they have a strategy that we can use to try to figure out where that 210 goes, because it may be a several revenue, several expense that nets out to the 210. So that's kind of our biggest stumbling block at this point, and it's not 210 to any one fund, it's like distributed over the six different funds. So we're going to dig into that. Unfortunately, it's still a material amount, and so we have to try to figure out how to, you know, reallocate that audit adjustment account balance to the appropriate funds to get rid of it. Do you have any questions on that?
Are there both revenue and expense audit adjustment accounts pending?
I believe so. The net is 210, and the possibility is that it could exist on both. Yeah. But I don't know. I haven't seen the journal entries. This is this was something somebody else was working on, and I am picking it up. And so we'll dig into it more on Monday with the auditors, and then it could be 20 lines, it could be 200, right? So it's multiple journal entries that have to be kind of unwound to appropriately designate the amount to either revenue or expense in each fund. So that's the bad news.
Who's working on it?
Well, Chris Funakoshi and I, mm-hmm. Chris is here, over mm-hmm. here. Chris is our senior accountant.
Okay.
And let me just take this opportunity to commend Chris for sticking with all of this and helping me. I've gone to him so many times to say, okay, what can you pull out of Great Plains, and do you know how to do this? And he says, oh, I've never done that before. And then like an hour and a half later, he's like, oh, here you go, I found this. Good. So he's been really a trooper, and I'd be really quite lost without him. So we're really grateful. He's been with the district for just over a year, and really has tremendous capabilities. Former CPA, I think, certainly.
Inactive
CPA, strong background in accountancy, so we kind of speak the same language, and it's been good. So we're rebuilding. So he and I are going to be meeting with the auditors on Monday to talk about, you know, figuring out where this 210,000 audit adjustment account discrepancy, where they are, because it's in multiple funds, and then we have to just assign the 210K to the appropriate category.
So starting with the, was it $3 million figure?
It was like 3.4, yeah.
Okay. Those revenues, values, and those expenditures so far have all been able to fit in someplace in,
yes,
on the appropriate line item, and we just have now still this value that has to be allocated.
Yes. Yeah, so it's dropped from the 3.4 down to 210, which is huge. And really, I think that that exercise of trying to get the balance sheet accounts down to what the reality was, because with balance sheet accounts, you actually have factual information about what the amounts are, like the starting balance in a bank account on July 1st of 2020. That's known, you know, as are most of the balance sheet accounts. You might have some discrepancies on depreciation and whatnot, but mostly it's factual information that you can put your hands on and see. So they did that, but then they didn't have the history that was before that time that led up to that. And so that's where these 3.4 million in adjusting entries came in, and then they had to kind of look back and figure out what had not been accounted for appropriately. So that's our biggest unraveling, you know, is to try to figure out what that last 210K, where it came from, either as a revenue or as an expense.
Okay.
Okay. So then if we move down into the yellow range, these are pendings. These documents have been submitted to Richardson, and one is for the fluctuations. They call these the fluxes. So this is the discrepancies between budgeted amounts for a particular cost category and the actual expenses. And in our 2021 budget, there were quite a few units, you know, enterprise funds that had all of the funding at the top level, and it wasn't distributed to lower levels. Like, for example, water has water admin, and then it has water source of supply and water transmission and delivery, and there's like one other category. And similarly, in security, you have security admin, then you have gates, and you have patrol, and in like a couple of others, I think there are these subs. And so very often there was zero. That was the budgeted for either salary, benefits, professional services, what have you. And then the expenses were coded to the lower levels. So that discrepancy is what the auditors highlighted and wanted explanations for. So I think over the six funds, there's five enterprise funds and then admin, there were like four to five apiece. So there were about 25 or so explanations about the fluctuations. So those were provided to them over the weekend, and we're waiting to see if that's sufficient to address their concerns. The second yellow item is actually the accumulated depreciation, or rather the depreciation expense for the fiscal year 2021. And we kind of went back and forth with them on this, and again, Chris was helpful in pulling data from the Great Plains system about our assets. And then ultimately, they were really looking for two pieces of data that were missing from the documents that they had been provided previously. And those were useful life, and maybe it was just the one piece of information that they didn't have is the useful life. And so they were just trying to validate what the expense was, the depreciation expense that was booked for those assets for the fiscal year 2021. And so they provided us a copy of the information that they had, and we integrated the useful information, and again, that was provided to them over the weekend, and we're waiting to see if that's adequate. There are about, I'd say, somewhere between 340 to 350 assets that are on the books, some of which are fully depleted. So when we, you know, move into cleanup on 2021, what we'll be doing is removing those items that have a zero book value. So I'm happy to answer any questions about depreciation.
It's in their court, so if it's not,
yeah,
they don't get what they want,
then we have to come. We have to do some extra work and try to figure out, like,
okay,
what they're not happy about. You know, I mean, it's basically their motto is trust and validate, and so they have to try to reproduce the calculations for the depreciation expense on their own. And so they didn't have the useful life, and so they couldn't do that. So we provided that information to them, which I know doesn't seem very complicated, but all these assets have numbers, and they all have, and so it was matching up those pieces.
Okay.
And then we move into the greens, which I don't think we need to go through, but if you have any questions about those, so those are all the things that we already finished. So there's a variety of different elements there.
72, to be exact.
Yeah, 72. So that, you know, they would say, we're not happy with this. Can you provide this? And then we'd have to just go through it and dig around a little bit. So that all has been done. So these two yellows and the two reds, that's pretty much everything that's between us and the finished 2021 CSD audit. And then it'll take us some time to actually do the journal entries so that we can then move into 21-22 to kind of clean up the general ledger so that we start 21-22 audit with all those stuff, all those elements that were not done properly in 2021, that we get them, you know, into our system. Because there's been, I don't know if this is too much in the weeds, but when the Poon Group was operating, they were working on sort of a shadow GL and then making the changes in there in order to be able to make the changes and justify it to the auditors. And then all that has to be integrated into our one financial accounting system before we move forward on the 21-22. So it's just a lot of journal entries, and it'll just take a little bit of time. But we're hoping we can automate some of that.
What's the strategy for the next audit?
Well, the next audit is to get the 2021 stuff in, and then to just get them started. I mean,
so we're going to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have in addition to Chris, we'll have our new director of finance and admin, who is an active CPA,
mm-hmm.
And me and. I'm not a CPA, but I have a master's in accountancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working now on many different systems that'll be instrumental in allowing us to be able to provide better 21, 22, 22, 23, and 23, 24 data going forward.
Okay. Sounds good.
And 20, well, yeah, so that's our strategy. We just have to kind of get through it. The good news is we haven't had any evidence of fraud. There will be it will be a qualified opinion, primarily because there are assets that were contributed by developers over the last, I don't know how long, 3, 4, 5 years, that were not capitalized or booked as assets that are the property of the district. And we can't really fix that. And the auditors said, we'll just give you a qualified opinion on that. Well, we will eventually have to go back. And there's the project that Michael's working on for the CIP, where they're actually doing an accounting of all the assets. And that will give us the information to be able to see what needed to be capitalized and wasn't. Usually, in the current era, it's brought up before the board as a an item where you accept it as a contribution from the developer. And I think that that protocol must have gotten lost at some point among the staff. It just, it didn't happen. I think it probably harkens back to the loss of the longtime accounting professional who was here, who you know, managed all that, and then there was just a loss of institutional knowledge, and so I think it fell off.
Well, at least going forward, we have a better process of accepting those assets, and we call them good. We know their number.
Yeah.
It gets into the books, and we go forward.
And then we depreciate those, and we also keep track of that warranty of 1 year after the donation, where it's still their responsibility to make sure it's functional.
Okay.
So that's the one qualified finding, and there are still going to be, under the management letter, material weaknesses from poor internal controls. And that is going to be, again, the work of me and the new director of finance and Chris and other staff to make sure that our systems are created, documented, and implemented so that going forward we have a fully functional system. And it's been, you know, it's always a little bit of an archaeological dig when you come into an organization and you have to go through all the books. But when I've gone through the share drive for the controller, the prior controller, there was extensive systematic documentation and procedures in place. And I think it got broken, I think, because of the loss of institutional knowledge. So we're just going to rebuild it and move on.
Okay. Steve, you have any?
No, thank you.
Let's talk about the next one, the 2022-23 budget.
Did you want to ask if there are any public comments about the audit, or do we have any?
I can ask.
Nothing?
Yes.
Well, if there's comments, then folks should still write me a card and
okay.
Put them in my basket.
Okay. All right. So let's move on to 22-23, and I'd like to talk about 22-23 and 23-24 together, just conceptually at the first, because one of the problems that we have with the data for both years is that, and it's the same problem that existed largely in paychecks for the vacation credits, which is that the paycheck system was not always set up properly. And so with many of our team who are not in administration, they have multiple areas where they work. Like, for example, a wastewater and a water activity or a developer activity. So there could be a person that has some hours in a pay period that are wastewater, water, or developer-related activities. And in a payroll system, you can often have people's percentages of time for different projects be estimated and just automatic, and you have some margin of error in that. But you can also have them just put in, you know, what hours were for which project. And I think there's been an inconsistent application of which hours belong to which project. That led to a larger than actual charging of expenses to water over the other areas. And so we have to go back in and get some clarity from the different units about the percentages of time. And we have to figure out a methodology in order to properly distribute the costs. And that's for 22-23 and just the last 3 months, because we need to either have it be systematic as a percentage, like the water and the wastewater people are 80-20 or 50-50 or whatever it is, and then they always charge their developer time to that because that's going to be very clearly known. And then all of the corresponding employer costs, like the benefits, they would be prorated to whatever those splits are. So that is, I'd say, one of the biggest cleanup jobs for both of the fiscal years. And if we think, again, just globally about those two fiscal years, we have essentially two or three buckets of money. There's personal services, which is all that time, and the related employer costs, you know, health benefits and retirement contribution and tax stuff. And then you have the checks, and then you have automatic clearinghouse payments. But you can call those all sort of operating expenses. So when we look at that data, you can get a big picture, high level, 500-foot level kind of synopsis if we pull the information in and integrate it into something. And so we did that with 23-24 for just the last 3 months. And that information, again, has the high level picture, but the distribution to fund is going to take a little bit more time. For all of the operating expenses, those are coded when a check is requested, and they're coded when an ACH, automatic clearinghouse expense, occurs. But we have to work on the payroll side to get that to be attributed more accurately to the various funds. So what I provided for the first quarter of 23-24, we can separate that out by fund, but for today, you have just the high level. And by high level, I mean this is how much is our budget, this is how much would be a fourth of that budget to represent the first quarter, and this is how much we expended, and are we over or under. So this I view as sort of a preliminary report out, because ultimately what will be available once we get the system all intact, including either individual actions on how they report their time or some automated percentage for a person's time for somebody who's split between different areas, then we'll be able to show you by fund what the different expenses have been.
So do I hear you right? You said you're aiming toward using a percentage as opposed to an actual number of hours?
So what we have to determine is what is the best methodology, because for, you know, it varies for different people. Like you might have, let's say, a water person, and they have a 9-hour day, and they're normally at the water treatment plant, but let's say they have to come back for an hour or two for wastewater. So then on their timesheet, they would have to, you know, list each of those chunks of time. And sometimes it might be de minimis, like very small or whatever. And so what I need to do is to get with the operations crew and find out how many people are actually assigned to multiple areas, multiple enterprise activities. What our first goal would be is to try to keep everybody just in their own lanes, right? That they're responsible for water, they're responsible for wastewater. And that is then something that they don't have to think about. This payroll, this paycheck system, it can be slow going if you have to select from this list of all these different categories. And that's another thing that we can improve, because right now I think there are about, I want to say like 80 different cost categories to which payroll can be assigned. And there's only the 6 funds if you include admin. And then if you include a couple of the sub funds, you know, it's totally under 10. And it's easier for the employee who, you don't want the employee to spend a half an hour having to do their timesheet, if they have a smaller list to choose from and if they're very clear on how they use it. So right now it's sort of patchy, where some people are designating, you know, different usages. So I think that's a whole area to focus on, both education and training of them, but also working with the supervisors to determine, you know, what the different employees' time could be or should be, what it would be budgeted at, if that's close to reality, or whether or not they have to, you know, indicate, well, from 1 to 5, I was doing the wastewater, whatever. So I think that's all to be determined. But what we do know for sure is that in prior years, there was not very good record keeping of the hours assigned to split enterprise fund activities.
So don't supervisors approve timesheets, or do they not go into the detail of what job they're?
Yeah, I don't think they go into the detail. They could see the detail, and they will see the detail going forward. Well, because we will want them to validate from that perspective. Mm-hmm. But I think, especially for some people who have 10 timesheets every 2 weeks, it's more likely that they're just looking to see, did they show the 9 hours? Did they show that they took time off? You know, that kind of validation, as opposed to what the granular aspects of it. And I think we can help with that with generating some easier to read reports that can be provided to them as PDFs. Paychex is, I think, a huge improvement to what the organization had previously, which was paper. But I think there's still some clunkiness in terms of how you can see the information. And so we can export that information and then reformat it in a way that makes it more accessible to people.
Okay,
so that was all sort of like mm-hmm. foundational to have you understand mm-hmm. why there's really nothing for 22-23, because just getting this information out still is kind of a big deal, but we're building on this every day. And so what you have in this printout here is the 23-24 budget of in the middle there, where it says annual budget 11.25. Mm-hmm. And at this spending pace, our projection is that we would hit $10.5 million. And that, I should say, if you look at just the period budget, we took the 11.2 and split it into four, so that would be 2.8, and then the actual spending today is 2.6. And then the annual under budget would be 678. But I have to throw in a caution for this, because this this kind of straight line split of a budget into quarters like this doesn't take into consideration timing of certain expenditures that are bigger ticket items, like CIPs, right? So we have about $300,000, I think, in CIP expenditures so far, and we have a budget, if you include the CIP and the water, I think it's about 1.3, so that's about $1 million left. So this... But I'm not sure that everything on the CIP got coded to CIP. So there's some, you know, finer tune analysis that needs to happen to make sure that it's there.
This includes capital improvement projects?
Yeah.
Does it include reserves?
Well, reserves are an asset, and so they would be funded from reserves, so it's implicit in there in terms of some of the CIP and some of the budget funding coming from reserves.
What about income from reserves?
No, because that the reserves are not. Well, I should let me see if I can explain this. The 11.2 million, and I'm sorry, I don't have the numbers exactly, that was a little bit over our anticipated revenues, and that differential was going to be coming from reserves. So that's another element of the overall financial situation, is all of the various funds that are out there. And I will produce for the next finance committee a listing, but basically we have a combination of reserves that can't be touched and reserves that can. And an example of the kind that can't be touched is the OPEB, which is other post-employment benefits, which we have an account with PARS, about $2.6 million. And that is a specific pot of money that's for individuals who were not covered under PERS, who have health benefits, you know, for the duration of their lives. So there's that. Then we have the Wilmington Trust, which is the CFD pot of money, And then we have LAIF, we have an account in LAIF, which is the largest piece of our reserve funding. So there's a variety of those, which you haven't seen, but I'll produce that for the next time as well. This time I was focused on budget to actual for
this is the operating budget, right?
This is the operating budget, yeah, and I don't know why.
I don't think capital improvement projects were in the operating budget.
Yeah, well, I went to the original budget, and it was weird to see that included in there, but just a piece of it.
It was included as an approved list of capital improvement projects.
Yeah,
and it never showed up, I didn't think, in the operating budget.
I didn't think so either, but I think it's, when I looked at it, it was there, so I added it back in, because it's a more conservative approach to include it than to not. And let me see if I can bring that up. Can I, let's see, bump you or?
Uh-huh. Oh,
I'm
yes,
connecting.
Yes.
And this is going to be kind of small, but I'll try to zoom in.
Okay. So you probably have to enter the.
It says connecting, but I.
Yes, yeah, so now you have to enter. If it doesn't come out, I'm going to ask you for a code up at the top.
Oh.
Can I read it to you?
Yes, you can.
192.168.22.228.
Okay.
And then hit enter, and then the code will come out. Hopefully. 1207.
I guess this prevents just anybody with Airtame being able to jump in here onto the screen. Okay, so here, I'm going to zoom in on this so you can see. This, let me zoom in here. And select. Zoom. Let's see if that's good. Okay, so let me scoot that to the right area. Right here, so this is very zoomed in. Let me see if I can get it a little bit back. So you can see it probably pretty well, but you can't see everything. So let me scale it back just a little bit and see if we can get to a sweet spot on that. Okay. All right. So here we have salaries, benefits, materials, professional services, utilities. These are our, 10 categories. And this capital reserves was included in here. But you know what? I take that back. I think I know what that is now. I think she just, I'm not sure what that is. But because that was there, I included the $300K in capital expenses to date. But and water studies is certainly a CIP. So I have to go back and look at the capital reserves. I didn't look at this is a sort of a summarized version of the 23-24 budget.
Yeah, I know the district's gone back and forth about putting reserves in the operating budget. And I always thought it should be in there because we actually bring in that money because we're charging people for reserves on their bills, right?
Well, but this is not a.
This is
not a revenue. This is
an expense side.
This is a use. But yeah.
So.
Yeah. So.
Eventually.
I think eventually what I want to show you is a complete balance sheet that shows all of those reserves, both the ones that can be utilized and ones that can't, and then the what is traditionally called an income statement, which would just be sources and uses, and then also talk about different investment strategies, different policies, different things like that. But we're kind of in our infancy in terms of rebuilding all this.
This sheet you gave us. The first page says budget and actual, and that must be expenses and revenue. Is that right?
That is just the expenses.
Just expenses.
Because the original budget was 11.2.
Oh, I see. One's annual, one's the period. Okay, so it doesn't have any revenue.
No.
Okay.
But our revenues have been strong, and we didn't have enough time with all the other audit work and the billing issues that we had last week to give you the full picture yet, but it'll probably be ready by the November finance meeting, because we now have an underlying database. We're getting source documentation in CSV format, which allows us to do big, like, annual reconciliations, and we can see that the two different credit card methodologies are depositing into our Banner Bank. You can see the whole flow. And I think it might be helpful for the committee if I gave you that whole, like, map of how the revenues come in for the next time, too, so you can see it, because there have been some slight changes as a result of utility billing and the different credit card. And then we're also advancing soon to an automated scanner of the checks. And that was supposed to happen on Friday. There was a little glitch with the bank, but they're going to get us set up in the next couple of weeks. And that'll really automate a lot of our things and remove human error from the keying in. So there's a lot on the horizon. It's a real reconstruction.
Okay. So this report is 23-24, first quarter. Is there a similar one for in the blessed year?
So the 23-24 data that you have there is from a variety of sources, and they're consolidated within a database called FileMaker Pro. And we will pull from Great Plains for 22-23 and paychecks for 22-23 and then bank information for 22-23 for ACH, automatic clearinghouse payments, and get there. I wanted to start with a smaller set of data for just the 3 months, because when data is pulled out of at least Great Plains, it includes sort of traditional accounting nomenclature, and there's usually like maybe three or four or six entries per item, because you have, in this organization, you have the high level, right, 11.2, and that's our budget, and then whatever you spend. But that 11.2 has to be distributed to these six different areas. And that part is where we have the lack of history, largely. I think at some point in 22-23, I'm not exactly sure when, there was a commitment to better coding, you know? And so we have that. If it is, in fact, good, we can pull it out of Great Plains and pop it into FileMaker, pull that paychecks information, and produce 22-23. So I envision being able to do that for the November Finance Committee meeting as well.
So you've started compiling the data? Is that what you said?
For 23-24, but for 22-23, it's in the Great Plains system, okay. But it just has to be parsed, right? It has to be pulled out, and then you have to remove the duplicate entries, because you'll have, like, say, $100,000 for payroll, and then it'll be, you know, $50,000 for water, $40,000 for this or whatever. And so it has to be reduced to the lowest common denominator in order to pull it in. So, for example, if I show you this, this is a tool that we're developing in order to have a better handle on data at the district. And it's a variety of data, including expenses and PRA requests, customer information, invoices. So we have our expense to date information. So you can see here, this is just for the first quarter, and I know that's really tiny, so you can't see that very well. Let me zoom in. This is the granular data for the first quarter, and this is the data that's underlying the numbers that are included in that projected. So this is, you know, rough, but it's getting there, right? It didn't all get unwound in a few months. So I think it's going to be very helpful. And what this does, I can just kind of show you this. We can sort this data by anything. We can look at this, and this is just popped in to FileMaker. And we sort it by account number, and then we can get this sort of presentation, which shows the different categories of expense. And then that same information is further summarized into the report that was included here, which is just the category of expense. So then you see the where the money went to. But this actually includes some of those debit and credit, you know, those offsetting things that I talked about. So what I have to do here is just say, let's just look at those that need to be included, right? So we'll do a find for that. And then this will give us the numbers that are in that report. So here you have this information. There's your estimated payroll. So that's that piece of it. And then you get the roll up to, let me see if I can get over to that. Where is my preview? The 2.6 is up there at the top. And then if we go to the summarized page, you can see the just the categories of expense. And so that's a really high level view of all these different expenses. And what we can do is pull these then by fund, by in another month, to be able then to compare it to what the expenditures were budgeted at for those different fund areas and for the different categories, right?
From my standpoint, if we don't have the detail, but we have this high-level view of what's being spent versus what we budgeted, that's very helpful. But I think you've got to give us clarity of what's in it and whether or not CIP stuff should be in it or not.
Yeah, and I will research that before next time, for sure.
So last year, the Poon Group developed a monthly year-to-date financial report. They presented it to the board, I think, in December for the first 2 months of this last fiscal year. There was an attempt by staff to present something to us in February using that tool, and the information, the data input was incomplete and inaccurate. That particular tool, or a tool like that, presented to the board on a monthly basis, will show us the expenditures for each of the various line items that you've referred to this morning a number of times, and show us trends that I think is very important for us to track, especially where we may be going over budget in line items. How soon should we expect to see a detailed report using that tool or something similar to it?
Well, I've never seen that tool, so I don't have any familiarity with that tool.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was it presented at a board meeting?
Yes.
Is it? Okay. In the fall of 22, in December of 22?
I think it was the first meeting that I sat on the board in December.
Okay.
The Poon Group, Vanessa from Poon, presented it to us. We actually talked about it a number of times, Marty, you may recall, with Vanessa after that.
It was a disaster.
And, well, what Vanessa presented for the first 2 months of 22-23, I think, was probably pretty accurate. A lot of work went into it. When our staff attempted to present it to us again in February, I agree with with Director Pohl, it was a disaster, but there are records of that tool being presented to the board on two different occasions. I believe in December, and then I believe, again, I think it was February. I mean, it's not a unique format. I mean, I've been seeing formats like that for years and years. Mm-hmm. We used to get one monthly when I was at Sac Regional Transit, and for we called ours were GL numbers, but for each GL number, you know, there was, and it was explained to us at the time, similar to what you just discussed, is that our challenge is we have this overarching expenditure. We write a check to PERS for pension contributions. But then where we fell short was allocating it to each one of the funds based on where the employees were assigned to work, something you addressed earlier. But I've been anticipating that kind of a tool being shared with us on an ongoing basis now. It was promised to us long before you got here. It was promised to us that we would have it by June in the complete format, and then staff changed and other things changed, and we got caught up with not caught up, but really focused on the audit. But, you know, knowing, it's good to know that our kind of amortized budget for the first quarter is $2.8 million, and we've only spent $2.6 million. That's valuable information for us, but what is more needed for us on an ongoing basis is how each of the funds are doing. Are we over or under? And then we can track the seasonal adjustments. You know, I mean, wastewater plants shut down a good portion of the year, so I would expect a lot less attribution of expense to the wastewater treatment plant in the winter months, for example. But I'm looking for a date when we will have, whether it's that tool, like I said, or a different tool. I'm not married to that tool. It's one that was very similar to what I've seen in the past, was very comfortable looking at it. Unfortunately, the data hadn't been attributed properly, so it was really not useful, other than, hey, that's a great format.
Can I respond, or are you
please? Okay. Yeah,
okay.
No.
So I will look for that tool. I would say that if staff had difficulty keeping it up to date, it might have been burdensome to put in, and that's a broader issue that is still out there on the horizon. Right, this is a bridge system until we get ourselves transitioned over to a financial system that does everything. Right now we have a variety of different systems in place. We have the utility billing, which is Tyler. We have something called Estiva, which is basically purchase orders. And then the Great Plains captures the checks. We don't have anything that tells us what checks got or what invoices got paid. So we're building that. And then all of that coding that allows you to match by like category the budget to the expenditures, which really is where the management of your expenses comes into play, because that way when Amelia says, can I spend $250 on a quarter page ad, I can say, yeah, knock yourself out, or I can say, you know what, it's really tight. And mostly for the last 3 months my response has been, no, we can't do that. And we've looked at a lot of things, and we're like, why are we paying $1,000 a month for this as a software that nobody uses? Let's get rid of that, right? And we've gone through that systematically to try to just tighten the belt because of this lack of visibility at this point, because we're still trying to rebuild and come up with a superior system. So one of the things that has been my sort of life effort is making really voluminous, horrible data more intelligible to the non-financial person. And so that first quarter of expenses, that is about 750 records, not including the payroll. The payroll is like included as one in here. But you can easily just get dizzy from all of the data that comes in. And if that's 750 for one quarter, that means it's like 3,000 bits plus all the payroll for the whole year. And when you're working in Excel, and I don't know if the system that was developed that you looked at in December was in Excel, but that's a common way to manipulate and look at data. I think it's very difficult to generate things that go high and then go into the details, right? Without somebody getting, you can. It's really important to be able to have the detail. The devil's in the details, right? But then you have to be able to have a system that allows you to pull up and see in broad categories with any perspective that you're interested in. And so that's what I'm envisioning, is that we either stick with Great Plains and export stuff into here, or we figure out their reporting, or we move into the more expensive Tyler. I think Tyler is at least $50,000 per year, not to mention startup costs on that for the financials. And this little FileMaker thing, it's about, I think, $700 per person per year. And we've got five licenses for 3 years, so we've got an investment of about $2,500. But tremendous flexibility in how we can use this information. So that's sort of my vision for making it so we can just push a button and get you not only a monthly report, but any day of the week, right? All of our information would be tied in. You'd be able to see, this is our current revenue, this is our current expenditure information, and this is the distribution by fund. So then you just can see it. And it can be printed out as a PDF, you can print it out in Excel, you know, export it to Excel and kick the tires, and it'll make auditing a piece of cake, and it'll make our understanding of the resources very clear.
Well, in order for this board to operate and meet its fiduciary responsibilities, we're going to need that type of reporting.
Absolutely.
And I you've mentioned Tyler a couple of times. I know last spring a lot of discussion about Tyler. I thought we were already integrating the Tyler system, and that was supposed to be kind of our saving grace moving forward. And it sounds like maybe now that's being reconsidered.
Yeah, I, of course, was not here during the Tyler technology decision. And when I arrived, the utility billing had just been launched. And I've been looking through the contract, and we had been meeting regularly with the Tyler representative. And there really were many, many items that were included in the overall contract that Susan and I together evaluated and determined we didn't need. They weren't functionalities that we relied on, so we asked that those be removed. Because Tyler is software as a service, so it's you're paying for it every year for whatever you're getting. And then I also want to be more confident in them before we move down that road. And the utility billing has been a vast improvement, but some of the elements of it have been a little rocky. So we own Great Plains, and we have a maintenance charge of like under $5,000 a year. And I think that the problem that happened here is that there was a loss of institutional knowledge about how to use it, because here on this green sheet, you see those codes. They're, you know, 100 dash blah blah blah. There's like, it's like a triple numbering system, and every one of those codes means something. But if people aren't familiar with the code itself and the complexity of it, you can easily have mistakes in coding, especially because you have in this organization, because of the multiple different project areas or enterprise funds, you have to do multiple layers of journal entries. So you might have the original, like, cash deposit of an amount, and then that you need another layer of journal entries that assigns that money to whatever funds it pertain to. Like, if the revenues come in and they're, customers' information, that's going to be a combination of not just the five or six funds, but there's like a dozen different funds, all these different pieces. And so that's complicated.
Looking at this list of expenses, and I think I have something similar on my screen here, supplies, equipment, services, are we not, as those expenses are being paid, placing them into the proper account?
Oh, they are. That's how this exists.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, back to, with the exception of the various payroll, you know, in personnel expenses, which need to be allocated, again, maybe it's because you're still trying to figure out how to distribute that. But if we're writing a check in the month of October, maybe two checks, to PERS, one for retirement contributions and the other for PEMCA, for healthcare, that's not at that time when we're writing that check in October. Currently, that's not being broken down to how much of that retirement contribution is attributed to the employees in water, how much of that is attributed to employees in wastewater, how much is attributed to employees in security.
So there are the checks, which are usually from a requisition purchase order invoice check kind of methodology, and then there's the paychecks payments, and then there's the payments to CalPERS, which are through ACH. And so we can automatically pay CalPERS for classic PEPRA, healthcare, what have you. And then what we have to do is a journal entry that attributes the cost to the different categories. And then that gets uploaded into the Great Plains system in order to properly attribute the expense to the right account.
So I guess my question is, are those journal entries being made on a real-time basis? Or are they simply sitting there in limbo as they were previously and not properly distributed in a timely manner?
So as of July, we've had a new payroll technician, and she is capturing all that information. It's not an immediate upload. It takes a while to track all that information and put together the journal entries. So it's probably about 3 to 4 weeks lag on that, because you have multiple pay periods, well, pay periods biweekly, and so then that data, or I'm sorry, those payments occur after the fact, so that you can, if there's any changes, we get charged by CalPERS if we have to make corrections. It's like $400 a correction. So we're trying to keep that to absolute minimum and then make the payments when we're ready, and then after the payments are made, then that cost distribution has to be done. So it's after the fact, but yeah, we are getting that in place so that for 23-24, it's going to be, you know, fixed.
Well, so I would request, I know it's kind of short time frame, but if you could research and look for that tool to see what we're talking about, and then maybe provide in your report to the board next week a projection of when we might looking forward to seeing a tool, whether it's that one or something, you know, other than that, that provides that type of detail. I think for the board to serve as responsible stewards and to be accountable to our community, we're going to need that. And I know, you know, we're still doing so much cleanup from prior years that's taking so much energy. But I'm concerned that we not continue to fall further behind on the current stuff while we're focusing on the cleanup stuff. I mean, we have to find some balance. But I think in order for the board to be accountable to the community, especially as we come into the late winter, early spring next year, we'll have to take a look at budget for the following fiscal year and potentially, you know, propose some rate increases. And I think we're going to have that kind of detailed information available to this board so that we can make an informed presentation to the community if we have to come back and ask for rate increases again.
Absolutely, and I think that's really an underlying reason for all of our efforts, is to make sure that we can control expenses and utilize the revenues that we have to maximum capability, and then also to invest our reserves so that those grow, so that that's another revenue stream for the organization that's not
one of the priorities increase. Given to us by the grand jury report.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any comments from the public? Nope. Anything you want to add?
No, I don't think so. I appreciate having the information that we have, but okay. As I've explained, I look forward to when we can actually provide a more detailed accounting by line item, fund category, whatever we call them here. Like I said, it was GLs at SAC-RT.
Well, it is the general ledger.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, by fund here. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you have anything you wanted to bring up or add? Or?
No, I think I've talked a lot.
Well, I appreciate the update, and let's hope that audit gets resolved shortly and get that off our back.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be a big relief. Yeah. So it looks like we're real close.
After they're happy with those last two items, then a week, a month, how?
It could be like a 24-hour turnaround if they're happy. When they get happy, well, it's the two yellows.
Sure.
And then one red. The one red is going to be, we're going to tackle that next week. We're going to have a little, you know, walk through with them to show us where they think it is. Because there, as I said, there's sort of this shadow GL that Poon Group was using. And I think the entries are in there. So. Okay. Anyway, we're close.
I would recommend, and maybe you're already planning to do this, Mimi, but I'd recommend also at the board meeting next week, in your report, you touch on what you shared with us here in terms of those items that have had to be addressed. And I ask that simply because I think we get a broader audience paying attention to our minutes and our recordings for our board meeting. Mm-hmm. And I know there's... Again, nature abhors the vacuum, and you know, I read in the social media stuff that I follow all types of bizarre accusations about why this audit report isn't out yet.
Yeah.
This information today was extremely informative for me, and if we can put that out to the public, and of course, as Martin says, once we have that done, I think then that's going to really propel us forward in terms of rebuilding some trust with our community.
Absolutely. And I think it's easy for me to understand why people would get concerned about delayed audits, because they usually spell something really bad.
No, that's exactly right.
Yeah. And I think in this case, it is bad. I think there was an incredible loss of institutional knowledge and sort of an implosion of the whole financial stuff. But I haven't seen anything about waste, fraud, or abuse, you know, so that's encouraging. And
I've heard that from Vanessa. I heard that from Susan, because I've asked this question repeatedly.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, are we going to find some malfeasance? And based on all the indications and the records that have been able to be reconciled, the answer consistently is the same that you just shared. When we get that final $211,000 resolved, then I think we're in a position to say to the public, okay, you see, yeah, it wasn't handled well, but it also wasn't handled, you know, improperly or criminally.
And I think for both the directors and the staff, the stewardship of the organization, the financial resources, the natural resources, they're very important, you know. And And so this kind of information will make it clearer that there is good stewardship. And so that's the end goal, you know.
Thank you.
Before we adjourn, I just wanted to say thank you for all your hard work in making this this system come back together, and appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, and thanks again to Chris, my sidekick, my accounting sidekick.